grateful for a new week, grateful for life. And you know, when we look back, we can see it has always been God. It continues to be God. He helps us. He renews our strength. He gives us courage each and every day, and we look unto Him. And today, let's open our Bibles, the book of James, and we'll look at some verses there, and then we'll be able to balance it out, and then can. So James chapter 1, and the Bible says, James, a bondservant of God and of the Lord Jesus Christ, to the 12 tribes which are scattered abroad, greetings. My brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. But let patience have its work, its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives to all liberally and without reproach, and it will be given to him. But let him ask in faith, with no doubting, for he who doubts is like a wave of the sea, driven and tossed by the wind. For let not that man suppose that he will receive anything from the Lord. He is a double-minded man, unstable in all his ways. Now, one of the things about the scriptures, whenever you read it, you will see that the authors, or rather the writers, wrote from different perspectives. Now, Paul really established doctrine. Paul was an apostle. He focused so much on doctrine, our position in Christ. He taught about the grace message, taught us to understand what Christ has done in our lives. He sought to know nothing but Christ revealed, and that was the foundation of his teachings. James, on the other hand, comes to provide balance, because James was a pastor. Per se, he was one of the brothers of Jesus, and he was a leader of the church in Jerusalem. And James tries to really focus on building people. And you see, one of the things that God helps us and God gives us leaders is, yes, we have teachers, we have apostles who focus much on the teaching and much on the doctrine, but then there's also the importance of teaching, the importance of balancing life and taking people through the journey of life, and that is the work of pastors. And one of the themes that you see in the book of James is how he takes the believers through moments where he knows that they're going to face in their lives. And you can see one of the first aspects that James tries to address is the place of suffering. You know, when we looked at Romans, and then it was speaking of that we should not worry about the suffering that we are going through, because as we suffer, so we shall also be glorified together with Christ. And then Paul speaks about our light and momentary troubles that are weighing for us a far weight of glory. So when we saw suffering, we were able to link it with suffering comes as glory. You know, hidden in suffering is always glory. And James tries to explain to us that there are times in life when we go through testations, and these are more than just temptations, but these are trials. And trials are experiences that stretch our faith and that push us to the limit. You know, it's like an exam. When you are in an exam, there are times the examiner is silent. You've gone through a class, you've done your best, you've studied, but then before you graduate to the next level, then you go through a period of a trial. Even Jesus himself, the Bible tells us, after he was baptized and the Holy Spirit came and descended on him in the form of a dove, he was led by the Spirit into the wilderness to be tempted of the devil. So there was a period of testation, but after he comes out and overcomes the temptation, the Bible says he came back in the power of the Spirit. That means the gap between his being baptized with the Holy Spirit and the release, the manifestation of power in his life, was linked to that gap in which he had to go through that testation, that temptation. And if we have the perspective that the scriptures want us to have, is that we must ask for joy. You know, it says count it. You know, count it is like an arithmetic term. You know, it's where you are sitting down to logically consider and calculate and see that, okay, there is something that this trial is taking me through. There is someone behind it. There is someone who has allowed it. And it is not that God is, you know, a bad God that wants people to go through suffering. No, but he knows that there are things that he allows to come our way because it either serves a deeper purpose. When you think about Job, all the suffering that Job went through was just God's way of making Job to know him better. Job says, I used to hear about you by the hearing of the ear, but now my eyes have seen you. That was the conclusion of Job. After all the trials that he went through, when everything was restored, he did not sin in those trials. He saw God. His wife, yes, was there pushing him to curse God and die. But he said, can't we not receive good and bad things from the Lord? And he says, naked I came from the grave, naked will I naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked will I return, and let God's name be praised. So Job, God uses him to illustrate that the end result of suffering is a revelation of God. Now, based on all that, James is teaching us that we have a responsibility to count it all joy, count it pure joy. And of course it is a work of faith, because there is no trial that is sweet at that point. You can imagine maybe it's a challenge in the marriage, or a challenge with the child, a challenge with your body, a challenge in the workplace. And at times it looks like the trial is not ending. In fact, many times trials bring us to our breaking point. And you know, one of the things that trials can do, either it will build your strength, it will show your strength, or on the other hand, it can crush you to the point of where you are unable to stand up again. And some people sadly do not understand that this is part of our walk with God. God does not desire that the trials crush us, but that they try us, because he says, after we've gone through the fire, we shall come out as gold. So there is a logical perspective that one must establish by faith, that God is working out something good in my life. God is in the business of perfecting me. It says, count it all pure joy when you face trials of many kinds, because the testing of your faith produces patience or perseverance. And remember, it is a testing of the faith. You know, it's not a persecution for doing evil. Remember, we are told that if you should not be persecuted for doing evil or for doing the wrong things or as a wrongdoer. If you suffer as a wrongdoer, then you are justified to suffer for it. But if you suffer for doing good, then you are blessed. So there is a test of faith that produces patience or perseverance. And perseverance must finish its work, must finish its complete work, so that you may be mature and complete, perfect in all things. God is after perfection. But beyond that, beyond the testing, beyond the trial, we say the first aspect is counting it. Then the second aspect is the perseverance. How do you stay grounded in moments when things are not right? There is a word that you must hold on to. And one of the things that helps us as believers is to know the difference between facts and the truth. You know, when Proverbs 3 verse 5 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all of your ways, acknowledge him and he will direct your paths. God is basically speaking on the aspects of, if you depend on what the facts say, you can lose on what truth has said. For example, if, yes, the facts of your body say that you are unwell, the facts of your body say that maybe you've lost your job, but you see, if you go to the truth of the Word of God says that by his stripes you were healed. There is a past tense of healing that Christ has already given to you.
When he says you are blessed with every spiritual blessing in Christ Jesus, when he says you've been given, you are, you know, a child of Abraham, you are a son of Abraham, and we have received the blessings of Abraham by faith through the Son of God. Then if you choose to meditate and to think through of your circumstances, of the facts that you see, then you are trusting in your own understanding. But if you choose to fix your eyes on the things that Christ has done, on the things that he's wrought in us, then we are able to see and to dwell on truth. So there will always be a difficulty or a challenge of balancing between truth and fact. And this is where he speaks of wisdom. You know, he's asking if anyone lacks wisdom, because in the place of trial, what you need at times is wisdom. And wisdom is not just what you studied in a book, but wisdom is actually knowing the mind of Christ, knowing what God wants you to do, wants you to say, how he wants you to act in this very moment. You know, when the Bible speaks of wisdom is a principal thing, it still remains the same, that wisdom is the foundation of our life. And God gives us wisdom. There is a wisdom that you receive in Christ when you accept him, that is inherent, is inbuilt in you. And that wisdom comes when you submit yourself to the Holy Spirit. He is able to guide and direct your path. So in trials, there is that place for wisdom. There's that place to ask God, God, I need your voice. I need your direction. Yes, I'm going through this, but what is it that you're saying? Yes, I'm being fought in the office, but what is it that you're teaching me? What is it that I am missing? Why does this still persist? How should I act differently? You know, at times trials will not change. The circumstances will not change, but we ourselves will change. Our perspectives to it will change. Our understanding of it will change. Our heart to it will change. And that those are some of the greatest rewards that come when we look to truth and not fact. And that's why he says, if any man lacks wisdom, let him ask God, who gives generously unto all without finding fault. That means that God has said he is a liberal giver of wisdom. There are situations that will come your way and you will just say, God, I don't know what to do. Those are the moments that he is able to answer. He is closest to those who are crying out to him for mercy. He's closest. And in that moment, if you ask him, the Bible says he gives liberally. That means that God does not partially give you the way forward. No. He is able to give you the right way to go. And he gives you freely and generously. But then he gives a condition. If he asks, let him not doubt. You know, one of the beauties about God is that God listens to our thoughts. He listens to our mouths, yes, but he also listens to our thoughts. Why? Because our thoughts come from our inner man. Remember, there's the outer man, you, that we can see and touch. But then there's the inner man, your soul and spirit, the inner man that is the other you. Now, whenever we speak to God, he listens to both what our inner man is saying and what our outer man is saying. Someone is praying, God, yes, intervene. Oh, God, I want a miracle before the end of the year. But yet the inner man is asking, how will this happen still? So when God is hearing you, he's wondering, which one should I hear? Should I hear the one inner man that is asking how it shall be done? Or should I hear the outer man that is pleading that let God do this? And that's why the Bible says a double-minded man is unstable in all he does. He should not expect to receive anything from the Lord. God is calling us for singleness of mind. There is a singleness. If I be single, you know, when Jesus was speaking, if I be single and full of light, you shall be full of light. There is a singleness of purpose that God calls us to. Can we dwell on truth? Can we sit with truth? Can we understand what God has spoken concerning our situations, concerning our lives? You know, one of the things that rarely changes is, or does not change, is what God has spoken about himself. What God has declared about his nature. He does not change. But you see, there are things that God will speak to us. And if we, let's say, for example, he says, if the wicked man repents, then I will forgive. But if the wicked man does not repent, he will die. So whenever God sends judgment, he gives men the chance for repentance. Yes, he may have declared judgment over Nineveh, judgment over cities, but there is always a caveat that if these men turn to Christ, turn to God, then repentance is available. So God has his ways. In his wisdom, in his guidance, he wants us to have oneness of mind and to focus on truth. Trust in the Lord with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind. You know, lean not on your own understanding. You know, we at times we might not know what we are facing. We might not understand the way forward. But if we can trust in him, we shall see the answers that we are depending on. And you know, in every moment, God is in charge. When you speak on the word that says, all things work together for the good of them that love him and are called according to his purpose. All things. Paul says, now, nay, in all these things, we are more than conquerors. Nothing can ever separate me from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus, be it hardships, be it trials, be it hunger, you know, be it angels, be it demons, be it things present, be it things to come. Nothing shall ever separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus. We must never forget that God loves us, even when we don't feel him, because God exists in the realm even beyond our feelings. God exists in the realm of faith. Faith is, God has spoken, I believe it. I stand on it. That word will keep me to the end. That word will sustain me. Find what God has spoken. Hold on to it. It's like an anchor for your soul. You know, things are, you're being buffeted by waves here and there. But you have an anchor for your soul. And as you hold on to it, then it stabilizes you in those moments, in those difficult moments, and you can experience the grace and love of God. May we not doubt the love of God even when things are not right. May we never doubt that the love of God is a truth. How we feel him being far away is a fact. It's a temporary situation. Hold on to truth. Leave the facts alone. Hold on to truth. Leave the facts alone. As you hold on to the truth, then the facts have no opportunity. They have nothing but to align to the truth. And the more we live by the truth of what God has said, what he has done, the more we'll experience his newness of life, the more we'll experience the miracles. That is a good fight of faith. Fighting to stay with the truth in spite of the facts, staying on even in trials, counting it pure joy, knowing that this is working out perfection, that it is working out maturity and completeness in me. And beyond that, that we stay in wisdom. We believe that God will give us the wisdom to navigate it, to stay firm and believe in his faithfulness. I'll stop here and I pray that God gives us more insight into this and we continue to stay according to truth. My brother, you're welcome.
Jacob Emmanuel, I have nothing to add, just pray for God's grace and strength. First, with those trying moments, but the most important thing is faithfulness and patience.
Amen.
That helps. Amen. As you said, some of the trials can may take longer than one would have expected. It might seem like there's no end in sight. But then Job gives us a blessing that no matter what happens, you just stay steadfast to your faith, and that is it. So, yes, we pray. It's not an easy thing. We just pray that God gives us the strength and the grace to persevere. That's all I can say.
Amen. Amen. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, I thank you. I thank you that your word always comes to remind us that you love us. That you love us, O God. That in spite of everything, your love is evident in our lives. We've seen and we continue to see traces of your faithfulness in our lives. That we face, yes, one challenge after another, but you're still there. It doesn't matter how long the buffets, the winds have been there. You say in your word that grace, my grace is sufficient for you. For my strength is made perfect in weakness. I thank you for strength for your children this morning. Strength and perfection. Grace, O God. Grace that comes from you, O God. Indeed, in every moment of trial, you are always able to provide a way out that they can stand it under it, O God. O God, that your children will not live defeated lives, will not give up, will not say that will be attritioned. They must not surrender. We shall not retreat. We shall not surrender. We shall remember your love. We shall seek the wisdom that you give. We shall look the patience. We shall draw joy from you and look forward unto perfection, looking unto the perfection, looking unto the final work that you're doing. Oh God, may we see you in a deeper way. May we experience you in a deeper way. May we know your faithfulness in our lives. May we know your grace in our lives. May we walk in truth. May we walk in your life. May we walk in grace, oh God. Guide our steps. Watch over us. Be a shield of our families. Be a shield of our children, oh God. Be a shield of our marriages, oh God. Be a shield in our workplaces, oh God. Help us direct our steps, O God. Remind us of who you are and who you said we are, O God, in you, O God. We bless your name, we honor you, and we exalt you. In Jesus' mighty name we pray and believe. Amen. Amen. Shalom. Blessed day.